live to, you know, basically do propaganda for 15 minutes. And then if you'll note on this press conference, when the president finally did get through with it, he pulled it to a quick stop because he didn't want the press conference to go over and affect the TV networks that were going to start airing their, you know, whatever shows are on Donald Trump, because it was ratings month. And Bush actually acknowledged that one of the reasons he was cutting his press conference short was because he didn't want to interrupt networks during a ratings sweep. And, I mean, this is such a ridiculous and embarrassing process. The fact of the matter is that, frankly, the people who are Washington correspondents for the big newspapers and TV stations shouldn't even participate in the travesty anymore.
And I just got a note handed to me by Jay Pierce that they actually changed the start time of the press conference to factor in these reality shows, not to interrupt them.
I mean, you know, Donald Trump must be seen. You know, I mean, but and imagine the message that comes to the American people there. It's basically, even you shouldn't care about this because it doesn't matter enough to, you know, like take real questions for a serious amount of time. And we're certainly going to call it off the second that, you know, it might interrupt entertainment. I mean, the problem that we've got in America today is a federal government and a media system made up of large corporations which essentially agree on one thing, and that is that the American people really shouldn't be given that much information. What they should get is a whole lot of entertainment and a lot of celebrity scandal, quote-unquote, news. And Bush, you know, again, this press conference was ridiculous. Where were the fundamental questions? I mean, where were the real questions about, you know, Iraq and about domestic economy and about, you know, I mean, the John Bolton question was, you know, the John Bolton being the very controversial nominee for ambassador to the UN. The John Bolton question was, do you still think John Bolton's a nice guy?
Yeah,
you know, and Bush said,
ridiculous.
Yeah, I still think he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah,
well,
shocker.
You know, I mean, no. The question on John Bolton is, you know, it has been exposed that John Bolton has done absolutely bizarre things. I mean, chased women down, you know, hotel hallways at 2 in the morning, got caught, you know, lying about, you know, the government of South Korea. I mean, he apparently treated his underlings in, like, just horrific, you know, a manner not seen since Marquis de Sade. And, you know, I mean, these are some fundamental questions, and Bush should have been asked, you know, hey, now that you know this information and, you know, detail the information, do you still support John Bolton? How can you support this man? Instead, he gets the, you know, well, what do you think about this kind of question? I kind of miss Jeff Gannon, the fake reporter that was put in there, you know, and asked questions for a couple of years, because at least Jeff Gannon's questions were funny.
Yeah, like, you know, it must be rough for you dealing with all these tough questions everyone else is giving you.
I know. I mean, now, you know, we don't have Jeff Gannon there to laugh at. We just have a bunch of people who ask questions remarkably similar to those from Jeff Gannon and not particularly more informative.
John, I have bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
Our phone lines are black. They're dark. They're dead. They're wide open. If someone wants to call in, we have a bank of eager volunteers sitting in a windowless room.
Oh, how
waiting for the phones to ring. The number here, 217-244-9455. Please call. Any amount you give is appreciated. We need your support. When you support this show, again, what it means is that not only do you support the station and support non-commercial radio broadcasting in our community in Champaign-Urbana and East Central Illinois, what you're doing is you're sending a message to every other station manager of an NPR affiliate and a community radio station in this country that this is the sort of programming people want to hear. This is what's important to people. And when you call, believe me, it's what economists call the multiplier effect. $1 has 10 times that influence that you give when we go to these national conventions and tell people about the support this program gets. You've got to call in and make that pledge, if you will, at 217-244-9455, whatever the amount is. We've been given a target here of 119 for the two-hour period. Right now, I think we're at roughly 31 and counting. But what we're going to do in a few minutes, a few seconds, is we're going to go to the weekly five-minute installment of Media Minutes. This is a special program we created just for Media Matters. It's a weekly update on media policy news from around the country done by John Anderson and Kimberly Kronick locally. They do a terrific job. The show is phenomenal. It's gotten great response. We do it as a service here. It's one of the things you get when you support WILL, when you support this show, is you get a program like Media Minutes. Let's go to that for 5 minutes. And while we're at it, I want everyone to promise you're going to make those phone calls, make that pledge, and then you can sit and listen to the last hour of the show with wonderful peace of mind.
This is WILL Urbana.
Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news relating to the intersection of media and democracy. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Kimberly Cronick.
The federal government's become more secretive in the last 5 years than it's been in more than 50, and it's using every trick in the book to keep otherwise public information out of public view. It's no surprise that government information judged classified or top secret would be restricted, but other, less well-known designators are now employed, seemingly at random, to deny access to public information. For example, government maps and safety data on nuclear power plants and chemical facilities are now disappearing from archives, having been reclassified as for official use only or sensitive but unclassified. These labels carry no legal authority, but certainly intimidate the casual inquisitor. Challenging decisions of secrecy is already more difficult, thanks to a 2001 rule promulgated by former Attorney General John Ashcroft, which set years of Freedom of Information Act policy on its head. The previous federal rule of thumb was to release requested information to the public unless there was a compelling reason not to. Ashcroft decreed that government agencies keep things secret unless doing so might break the law. The number of documents labeled as classified or higher has doubled in the last 4 years, while the rate of document declassification has dropped by more than half since George W. Bush took office.
The nation's two largest cable companies are sharing in the spoils of a former rival. Comcast and Time Warner Cable have agreed to buy the bankrupt Adelphia Communications for a combined $17.6 billion, most of that in cash. Adelphia went belly up in 2002 when members of Adelphia's founding family were arrested and charged with fraud after they looted the company of hundreds of millions of dollars for personal gain. The founder, John Regas, and one of his sons has since been convicted and awaits sentencing. As a result of this buyout, once the assimilation of Adelphia is complete, Comcast and Time Warner will control more than one-third of the entire U.S. cable subscriber base, some 38 million cable customers in all. To keep the buyout from running into antitrust problems, Comcast will divest itself of stock it holds in Time Warner Cable. The two companies are also carving up Adelphia's cable systems in such a way as to strengthen their grip on lucrative territories. When all is finished, Time Warner's customer base will be consolidated in and around five major urban markets, including New York and Los Angeles. In exchange, Time Warner will cede most of the rest of the Atlantic seaboard and Midwest to Comcast. Consumers are likely to lose from this deal. Comcast rates have risen at three times the rate of inflation over the last 8 years, and in 2004, it was rated the worst company in America in terms of customer satisfaction. The big fear stemming from this deal is the control the two companies will have over cable TV content. After all, Time Warner is part of a larger media empire that includes movie studios, record labels, TV networks, and publishing concerns. And Comcast has a stake in several TV channels, as well as the rights to the MGM film catalog. Public interest watchdogs are worried that either company could use its content library and cable reach to keep independent programs and channels off the air. They're urging municipal governments to leverage their franchise negotiating power with the companies in order to head off any moves that might gouge consumers and restrict channel diversity.
Leave it to big broadcasters to try and turn a grassroots media phenomenon into a money machine. Podcasting's on the lips of the tech-savvy these days, thanks to advancements in audio production tools, which allow virtually anyone to produce a radio show from anywhere and syndicate it online. Having run out of creative format ideas years ago, Infinity Broadcasting, the radio division of Viacom, will flip an AM station in San Francisco to an all-podcast format in May. The station's call letters will be changed to KYOU, and Infinity's already branded it Open Source Radio. It may sound like a big deal, but in reality, it's a perversion of podcasting itself. What makes podcasting especially liberating is that it allows content creators to distribute audio without any middleman. KYOU, though, will have a staff on hand to review the podcasts submitted to the station before they can be aired. Podcasting allows people to share content for free, but any content uploaded to KYOU becomes the property of Viacom. Podcasts, for the most part, are commercial-free. KYOU will essentially be podcasts with commercials. And finally, if you'd like to listen to KYOU itself online, you must register through a Viacom-sponsored website, which asks for your name, email address, and zip code. From Viacom's perspective, a podcast format radio station makes great sense. The programming is all free, and it generates a great buzz for a weak signal station with ratings currently near the bottom of the San Francisco market. You've been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website at freepress.net.
Okie dokie. Welcome back to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We're in the second half of a special two-hour edition today on WILL AM 580 on Sunday, May 1st, 2005, May Day, a lovely spring day here in East Central Illinois out on the prairies. I went for a walk this morning in Meadowbrook Park, and boy, it made me glad I'm around here today. It was just a beautiful day. This is a very important week. The reason we do the two-hour show, and we have our guest with us, John Nichols from Madison, Wisconsin, is it's our week to ask you for your support. We need your support to support programs like Media Matters, like Media Minutes, for local non-commercial radio broadcasts here in East Central Illinois, and really to support the principle of the sort of show we're doing, not just here in Illinois, but across this country, that the issues John Nichols is talking about, that our guests on this show, like Seymour Hersh next week, like Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, Naomi Klein, Phil Donahue, on and on and on, the sort of people we bring every week to you here in East Central Illinois, that the sort of issues that these people are talking about and raising and discussing get an hearing all over the country, not just here. The support for this show does that. It makes it possible in ways that I can barely exaggerate. They're so useful for those of us trying to expand the horizons of what's permissible to be talked about in our media system. We have a goal that's been set for us for 119 callers to call in this two-hour period. In the first hour, we got 38. So basically, we need another 80 or so. We've got to do two-thirds of the lifting in the second hour, this hour of the show. Please call in. The number, as many of you, I hope, have memorized. If not, start memorizing. 217-244-9455. Give whatever you can. If you're only going to give a dollar, give a dollar. Show us your support. You know we have thousands of people listening to this show every week, and it's podcast. It's on the web at will.uiuc.edu. We know we have thousands more there listening to it online. We only need 1% or 2% of you to easily meet the 119 goal. If we got the other 98%, just some of you to give your support, we'd go way over it. 217-244-9455. This money goes to keep programs like this on the air, to pay the electric bill, the phone bill, the water bill. It doesn't go into my pocket. It doesn't go to any fancy limousines, no trips to Bar Harbor, these sort of places. This is just really down to the slab, paying the basics, trying to get another journalist to cover our community, to keep our people on staff. We need that support. 217-244-9455. And for a $60 pledge, if you give us our basic $60 pledge, we will give you, hot off the press, being printed right now this week, a new book called The Future of Media, which I had the privilege of co-editing with Ben Scott and Russ Newman. It has chapters in there, 15 chapters, including original chapters by people like Bill Moyers, Bernie Sanders of the U.S. House of Representatives, Linda Foley, Peter Hart for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, Michael Copps of the SEC. It's really a terrific book, and I can say this because I'm not bragging, because the other people are the people what makes it terrific, not Bob McChesney. But I urge you to get a copy of this book. We need your support. This hour is this is it for us. We're not going to be asking for money again till late fall, probably sometimes in October or November. We got to make enough money now to carry us through the summer to pay those bills. That air conditioning bill, if we have a rough summer, could be tough. We need air conditioning. We can't do the show without it. So you've got to make that call. 217-244-9455. I want to thank a few people who have been terrific. Marianne and David Wilson in Urbana, thank you so much. The Mack family, Kim and Rick, thank you so much. From Farmer City, and I know John Nichols loves it when you get people from rural areas calling from the smaller towns, because he's from a small town in Wisconsin himself. Charles Williams in Farmer City, thank you so much. Wayne and Adriana Smith in Champaign, thank you. And John Sullivan, thank you so much. Brother John Nichols, you're still there, I hope.
I am indeed.
Let me mention one last bit of business. Sarah McDougall here in Urbana very generously has offered to top off any student who calls in and wants to pay for a $25 student membership, all they have to do is pay $15. She'll pay the last 10 for them. So Sarah McDougall's got a challenge for the first 10 students to take her up on that. Please do, again, the number 217-244-9455. John Nichols, another big story that's come up, I think, in the news media, which has gotten roughly the same amount of attention as the British election, has been the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, the resolution of that, and really the great international controversy about this, which has barely percolated at all in the U.S. news media.
Well, I think that and if I can just add, there's also the really rapidly mounting controversy over the killing of the Italian security guard who, there was an Italian journalist who was imprisoned by some of the insurgents. She was released
Naomi Klein talked about that on the show last week, just for listeners.
Just so listeners know about it.
Yeah.
But that controversy has just blown up in Italy. And Berlusconi, who is an ally of Bush, is essentially pressing the United States, saying, you know, you guys have not investigated this. So what we're really getting with Abu Ghraib, with this Italian situation, with a whole bunch of other controversies, is a rising level of evidence that the United States is deciding to sweep controversy regarding the occupation of Iraq kind of under the table. Now, that's what governments do. It's their job to lie, you know, like it or not. It's how they operate. But the question is, why isn't American media doing the same thing that media in other countries around the world has done? You know, Blair in Britain is Bush's ally. Berlusconi in Italy is Bush's ally. And yet their feet are being held to the fire by domestic media in those countries that are demanding to get answers to fundamental questions about, you know, Brits who are held at Guantanamo, about the killing of this journalist, this security officer, things like that. Why isn't the American media going to the mat on Abu Ghraib? And why are they covering the whole legal situation regarding Abu Ghraib in a manner that even a four-year-old kid would know is ridiculous? You know, here you have the lowest level soldiers, you know, National Guard folks. People used to be working at the Wendy's in West Virginia. They're being charged with high crimes and misdemeanors. They're getting thrown into prison. They're facing all sorts of, you know, very serious impacts on their lives. And yet their superiors, the people who were giving the orders, have by and large avoided any sort of blame. Do you really think that Donald Rumsfeld shouldn't have to answer questions about this? Do you really think that George Bush and Dick Cheney, who were in those meetings with Alberto Gonzalez when they talked about the use of torture, shouldn't have to be called to account on this issue? I mean, that's essentially what the American media has accepted, that the only people who could possibly be held accountable are, you know, these poor working-class kids from West Virginia and Texas. And I just think it's an incredible travesty.
It's quite striking, too, because the international human rights community has lambasted the U.S. investigation as being incredibly self-serving and fraudulent, not standing up to any sort of international standards. Yet that story, except for blogs and obscure websites, is all but not covered in our news media.
There is the bottom line, and people should know this, there is no international observer agency or grouping that has looked at the U.S. investigations of Abu Ghraib or of any of the other complaints about bombings of civilians, about, you know, the detainees at Guantanamo, things like that, that have said the U.S. has done a good job. We have, at this point, a really miserable track record. But again, I think that, you know, history tells us that governments are not truthful with their people. It's not, you know, Bush is not the first to do this. Where things are really falling apart and where it's gotten really awful is the failure, particularly of our broadcast media, to make an issue of this, to hold the president accountable. And the other part of that problem is in our Congress. And our Congress is simply not beginning to do its job. I remind people all the time that back in the 1960s, 2 years after the United States, you know, really ramped up its involvement in Vietnam with the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution,
mm-hmm.
The chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, William Fulbright, held hearings that showed that the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution was based on a lie. Those hearings were broadcast day in, day out on national television. One of the reasons that we had an anti-war movement in the 1960s is because the American people had been shown the lie of the war by honest members of Congress and by a media that was willing to reveal, or at least to allow, citizens to have access to information.
You're listening to John Nichols today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, coming to you live on WILL AM 580 on this beautiful Sunday, May 1st, 2005. This is our special once every 6 months or so pledge drive show that we do here on NPR affiliates and here at WILL. We need you to step up to the plate, support us today, show your support for the sort of analysis you're getting right now from John Nichols, and ask yourself, gee, I wonder if I'm going to get that on the Rush Limbaugh show or CNBC or MSNBC or CNN or Fox News or any other of the great choices you have on the dial. The answer probably is going to be no. Next week on this show, for example, our guest for the full hour will be Seymour Hersh, answering your questions about the U.S. role in the world. On this program, we've had people like Naomi Klein, Amy Goodman, Phil Donahue, Bernie Sanders, an extraordinary group of guests, having a chance to speak with you for a full hour, uninterrupted. Questioners get to ask full questions. They aren't cut off. Answers can be take 5-10 minutes if need be for our guests to make the points they want to make and make them properly and not feel rushed. But this show doesn't come for free. Now, granted, I don't get a dime out of it. John Nichols doesn't get a dime out of it. We volunteer our labor because we believe in this sort of radio. We believe in this sort of media. But we have to have microphones. We have to have telephones. We have to have an engineer. Those things do cost money. And that money has got to come from somewhere. And regrettably, it's not coming from the federal government anymore and not very much of the state government either. Increasingly, this station and this program rely almost entirely on listeners like you to call in and say, I believe in this sort of radio broadcasting. This is important to me. We've got a goal they set for us of 119 callers over a two-hour period. I thought, oh, that's ridiculous. How can we do 119? But then I was reminded, you know, we have several thousand people every week listening to this show, several thousand more who podcast it, who get it on the internet. If we just got 1% of those, we'd blow through 119 at 80 miles an hour. That wouldn't be an issue. And if you're one of those people who call in, we'd love you. Thank you so much. If you're not one of those people who call in, but you're listening to the show, again, go take a hard look in the mirror. Ask yourself, you know, what's the program here? Why am I letting other people pay for something I'm benefiting by? Why am I not taking what little money I can and encourage this sort of radio, not just here in Champaign-Urbana, not just at WILL AM 580, but in radio stations all across the country? So I'm not going to be the only one carrying Seymour Hersh next week. I'd be competing with 50 other stations trying to get Seymour Hersh or trying to get John Nichols or Naomi Klein or any of our other guests on the air to talk about politics, to talk about media. Call in 217-244-9455. Make a pledge. Whatever you can give, we'll appreciate it. $60 will get you a brand new copy of the fresh book, The Future of Media, co-edited by myself, Russ Newman, and Ben Scott. It's a terrific book with chapters, original chapters by people like Bill Moyers, Bernie Sanders. You'll get it sent directly to you right as it comes off the press next week for a $60 pledge. I mean, this is, you'll be the first person around to have a copy of it. And John Nichols, we have as joining us on the phone now, Ben Scott himself.
Ben Scott.
Welcome back to Media Matters, our first producer.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's a pleasure to join you today.
Well, tell folks, if you would, a little bit more about the book that you, Russ Newman, and I co-edited, The Future of Media, which is our premium today for folks who generously call in and make a $60 pledge.
Well, this book, I think, is going to serve for years as a standard for a general overview of the media reform movement. The book came out of the big National Conference for Media Reform that Free Press hosted in 2003 in Madison, Wisconsin. The chapters are extensions of talks that some of our premier speakers gave at that event, and it is really a fantastic resource.
It really is, and I say that again. I don't normally like to brag about books I'm connected to, and I brag about this one because of the other chapters, not my chapter, because there's so much good material in here. And you and Russ Newman did such a terrific job doing the hard editing of it. I'm sort of a figurehead in this project.
Well, really, I feel like if this book is a hole on a golf course, all the other authors really knocked the ball up the fairway and put us within about 6 inches of the hole, and the three of us just had to just sort of put it in.
That's really true. I mean, the Bill Moyers chapter alone is worth a $100 pledge to WILL.
It sure is. That chapter is a transcript of the keynote speech that he gave at that Madison conference, and I don't know a single person who was in the auditorium that heard him speak that night that didn't come out of there saying, that's the single best public speech I've ever seen in my life, and I don't expect to ever see a better one.
That's absolutely true. I was there. I was backstage. John Nichols was there. It was simply mind-boggling. It was like being hit by a 100-mile wind and blown out to sea.
You know, that speech that is in the book I just had a chance to reread it recently because Bob and I have been working on a new book that will come out this fall, and it is so absolutely striking because nobody channels the founders of this country at their best better than Bill Moyers does. And what he did was he linked the concerns that the founders had about the kind of media system this country would develop and where we are at today. And he basically reported that, you know, we have gone the route of disaster. And to hear somebody with Bill Moyers' stature saying that we are at a crisis point, it was very striking. To read it on the page is, incredibly enough, even more powerful, because you realize that, you know, he's speaking a truth that you don't see on television. You won't, you know, hear on radio mostly, and you certainly are not going to see in most newspapers. And yet it's there. It is the fundamental truth of our time.
Ben Scott, you were the first producer for Media Matters, fortunately. You carried that job ably for quite some time, and I think a lot of our listeners know that you're also a hometown boy. Now you're in Washington, D.C., one of the leaders of the fight to organize, to change media policies, to create a better media system. What would you tell our listeners today? What's the state of things in Washington, and what should they do in the next 30 minutes to help the situation?
Well, I think the best thing that they can do is call into Media Matters and WILL and make a pledge to support independent media, the kind of media that you do on the show that we started a couple of years ago and I'm still very proud of. I often get the question from folks, you know, hey, you're that Washington guy, you know, how do we change things? You know, we all see there's a problem with the media, consolidation's out of control, we have partisanship infiltrating on all of our news channels, the quality of journalism going down. What do we do? How do we make things better? And I say, well, the first thing we have to do is we have to spread the word. We have to raise awareness that there's a problem and what that problem is. And I think I can think of no better way to spread the word than to have alternative media programs like Media Matters that really lay it out, that don't pull any punches, that bring the people on to the public airwaves, that really know the show and can give a clean analysis of what the problems are and how we can solve them.
Ben Scott, thank you so much for taking time on your busy schedule on a Sunday to join us today. Have a good week. We'll be talking to you soon. And we'll see you. Ben Scott will be in Urbana. He will be one of the speakers at the conference May 10th and 11th that John Nichols will be at, and Seymour Hirsch and Bernie Sanders and Linda Foley. And if you want more information about that, just go to the website impr.org, www.iimpr.org. But do not go to that website until you've called 217-244-9455. Our phone lines are wide open, I regret to say. We need those pledges. Again, if everyone listening who values the sort of analysis you're getting on this show week in and week out from guests like John Nichols makes that call, we will have enough money to be able to bring guests from all over the world on the airwaves here. We'll have enough money to do shows like this and to get this around the country to encourage other stations to take a chance, to take a leap, like WILL did when they put this show in there. I mean, this was a risky move for WILL. It was not like a slam dunk no-brainer. No other station in the country was offering me a show 3 years ago when I came forward with this idea. They embraced the show. They stood by it. This is the way we say to WILL, thank you for supporting a show like Media Matters. Thank you for having the courage, and it took courage, to put a program like this on the air. Call now, 244-9455. Make that pledge. And remember, for $60, you get a copy of the brand new book, the extraordinary book, The Future of Media, that Ben Scott, who was just on the line, has been talking about. And now we got Sarah McDougal, bless her heart, has called in, and she's up the ante. She says, now to the students, she's got 7 left. If you'd only give $10, she'll pay the remaining $15 to pay for a student membership. Thank you so much, Sarah. Students out there, get to work. Come on, let's get some action here. John Nichols, you still with us, brother?
I am totally here. I've been enjoying listening. I haven't been hearing enough phone calls. That's
I know. We need more phone calls. We need the support. We've got 119 as our target. We've only got 35 and a half minutes left. John, another big event that's gotten absurdly little attention in our news media, but is centrally involved in what's going on today, has been the 30th anniversary of the U.S. exit from Vietnam.
Well, that's the funny thing. You know, there has been coverage, but it's sort of like, you know, this sort of depoliticized, dehistoricized coverage. You think, wow, there was a parade in Vietnam, and they had tanks in it and stuff like that. But very little self-examination, very little thinking about, you know, what? Why is Vietnam celebrating? You know, what are they talking about? Well, what they're talking about is driving United States occupation forces out of their country. And The question people ought to ask is whether 30 years from now we'll be covering Iraq in the same way. You know, will the Iraqis be celebrating the exit of U.S. troops? And that's not to, this is not to condemn the troops on the ground. You know, the fact of the matter is American soldiers in Vietnam were forced into a horrible situation, just as American soldiers in Iraq are forced into a horrible situation. But the question that we ought to ask, and our media ought to be asking a lot more, is what are the similarities? I mean, where, what should we be thinking about? I did see a very good report.
Let me interrupt. I've got a news alert coming in. Hold that point for a second.
Yeah.
If someone does call the 244-9455 line and they get a busy signal or they don't get through, there's another line you can call, and we don't want to lose you. That's simply 333-0850, 333-0850. Try the 217-244-9455 line first, but if you don't get through, and I think that line actually is open now, 244-9455. If you don't get through, don't give up. Just hang in there.
Keep calling.
Keep calling. You don't have to give more money. Just keep calling for the same pledge. 333-0850 will get you through. But we do have an opening at 244-9455, area code 217. John, go ahead. Finish your point.
Well, I was just going to say that there was a very good article I saw, I think it was actually in one of the British papers the other day, about the Salvadorization of the U.S. response to the insurgents in Iraq, i.e., the U.S. is taking former Ba'ath Party military folks and turning them into death squads and sending them out to kill anybody who isn't towing the line. And, you know, this is going to be a huge story. Oh, actually, no, I give credit. It's the New York Times has a story on this just today.
Good.
And that is important. And, you know, this is useful stuff because what we want to do is take a look at this occupation of Iraq and say, you know, what ought we to know about it? What ought we to learn from our past with regard to it, from Vietnam, from what we did in Central America? Instead, most of the coverage of the 30th anniversary of the U.S. exit from Vietnam has been silly and sort of amateur hour stuff rather than, you know, really kind of making it useful to us. There's one of the lessons I learned when I went into journalism is there's absolutely no point to doing an anniversary story just for the sake of an anniversary. The reason you do an anniversary story is to figure out how we've progressed, what we've learned. You know, you have to have some reason for it, not just to turn the cameras on.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to John Nichols today in Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. Those of you who just tuned in, this is our two-hour version. We started at high noon today. We're running another 32 minutes till 2 o'clock. This is also the time we come to you. We're not going to do this again for another 6 months or so, where we need to ask you for your support. We only do it a couple times a year. John Nichols, the Nation correspondent and well-known political correspondent, graciously comes on to join us in these shows because he, like myself, understands the importance of raising money for public radio, for stations like WILL AM 580, and for programs like this. We need your support. We need you to say, okay, this is important to me. You know, I value this. I want this show to stay on the air. I want it to be alive and well. And I want to encourage programs like this all across the country. The number you call, if you believe in that, if you want to have people like Seymour Hersh, uninterrupted, uncensored, unfiltered for an hour, Naomi Klein, Bernie Sanders, Amy Goodman, all the guests we bring to this show, Phil Donahue, the number you have to call right now is 217-244-9455. Or you can call. If that line's busy, and I hope it is, that's a good sign. If it is, you start smiling. If that line's busy, there's another number you can call, same area code, 217-333-0850. 333-0850. But try the 244-9455 number first. And if that doesn't work, go to 333-0850. But please do call. You have the reason why John takes 2 hours of his time to come here. I'm going to put words in your mouth, John, if you don't mind. John's a really busy guy. He's accomplishes more than anyone I know in terms of writing a column for a newspaper, national magazine. But what John does also, he's willing to take 2 hours off this because he knows when he travels around the country that when shows like this are successful, it's sort of like a battering ram that creates space for similar shows all over the country, for journalists who want to cover stories that we raise in this show all over the country. John?
Mm-hmm. No, look, the bottom line is
that was a true-false question for you, John.
It is. Absolutely.
Okay, good.
It is. And the bottom line is this. We don't have a good media system in the United States right now. It's not news to most of your listeners. We have a rotten media system, and by and large, it is full of scandal and cheap entertainment and very little news, a lot of weather coverage. So what we have to do, those of us who are committed to not good media, but rather to democracy, have to go find the vehicles around this country that work, that are functional, that have a quality to them, and that actually reach a lot of people and get a lot of important information to them. I have to be honest with folks in Champaign and Urbana. The truth of the matter is that Naomi Klein and, you know, Cy Hirsch and, you know, all sorts of other prominent folks who come on this show would be doing it if we had a great media system in the United States. They'd be too busy being on Meet the Press or on, you know, Face the Nation on Sunday. But the tragedy is that those shows are packed with folks who are, you know, kind of inside the power structure and aren't going to say anything that matters anyway. And so that's why so many of us are absolutely committed to making shows like this one work. In fact, to making this specific show work, because it's so important. And I really do hope that people will call 217-244-9455, 217-244-9455, with a pledge. And it does not have to be, you know, that $1,000 pledge or the $500 pledge. You call for $1, $5, $10, whatever you can give. You know, we're going to welcome that, because what we're about here is saying that there is broad public support, broad popular support for quality media. That's the message we want to deliver today.
And in fact, you know, the people here at WILL don't even tell me the cash amount that we get on a show like this. That's really not what they are interested in. They want to see people call in. They give me the number. Our target is 119 for this 2 hours. We've got just about a half hour left. We're three quarters of the way through, and we're just a little over the halfway mark, it looks like. If I'm doing some at Jay Pierce, I'm doing the math. It was 56 a while ago, and I'm adding up some there. I think we're over 60 now, which means we're just about halfway there, which means we've got one quarter of our time to get half the callers we need. We're halfway home with 28 minutes to go. Please make that call, 217-244-9455. If this is programming you like, if this is radio you want to be able to hear, and you don't want to hear me talking about this for the next 6 months, call now. Make that pledge. And for $60, our basic premium, you're going to get a copy of the brand new book, The Future of Media. I co-edited it with Russ Newman and Ben Scott. It's got original and stunning chapters by people like Bill Moyers, Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, Michael Copps of the FCC, and a number of experts whose names I haven't used because you're not as familiar with them, but people who are experts at issues like copyright and the internet and journalism regulation know these names. They're the top people in the field. And this really lays out all the issues you need to know. And this is a book that will be, as Ben Scott put it, the handbook for the next decade for people concerned about the future of media in this country. 217-244-9455. If by chance it turns out that that line is busy, and I hope it is, you can call 217-333-0850, 333-0850. Please call. Make that pledge. Again, we have thousands of people who listen, but we're only trying to get 119 of you to call, show your support for this station and this show. Please do it. If you've done it already, I love you. I wish you were here. John and I would each like to give you a hug. But, you know, since you're not here, you just have to understand that's our sentiment. We do love you dearly. If you haven't called, though, we still love you, but not quite as much. We'll love you a lot more once that phone call comes in. 217-244-9455. Whatever you can give is appreciated. John Nichols, there's another anniversary. A caller called in and just left a message. Is this the Mission Accomplished anniversary? Was that yesterday also?
Yeah, actually, no. It's let me think. It's today.
It's today.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's well, let's see. Today's May 1st. It might be tomorrow. I actually think it was May 2nd.
But we're in the Mission Accomplished zone.
We are, and so everything's just fine. We're 2 years into our success. And, you know, one of the painful realities about that is it's important to remember President Bush didn't say Mission Accomplished. He just stood in front of a banner that said it, and the cameras flipped on and filmed it and filmed the president wearing a navigator, so, you know, a flight suit from an airplane. And, you know, if there was a single moment that sums up the last, really the last 3 or 4 years in American media history, it's that one, because it was based entirely on a lie. Mission hadn't been accomplished. It was destructive of the process because it sort of shut down debate for several months when we should have been talking about how we're going to handle this country we've just invaded. It, I think, caused a lot of mothers and fathers, wives, husbands, to breathe a sigh of relief and say that their loved one who was in Iraq was going to come home safe. And in fact, now we have more than 1,000 young Americans killed since that mission was accomplished,
yeah.
And we also have tens of thousands of Iraqis dead, someplace around 25,000 Americans crippled for life as a result of this war. I mean, and yet we had this media moment, and did anybody get up at the press conference and say, you know, just this last week, Mr. President, we're coming up on the two-year anniversary of you saying mission accomplished. Aren't you embarrassed?
Yeah.
Aren't you ashamed? You know, that's the question that should have been asked. Aren't you ashamed for going out and doing a publicity stunt when it was so absolutely clear that no mission had been accomplished? But we have a media that does not hold our president accountable.
We're talking to John Nichols today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. John Nichols, of course, the correspondent for The Nation magazine, common, frequent guest on Media Matters.
Very common guest.
Very common, uncommon, absolutely. And also, I think many of our listeners know, a dear personal friend of mine. So it's always a pleasure to have John on the air for any number of reasons. This is our pledge drive week, and we need your support. We need those calls at 217-244-9455. I want to remind folks again, though, that this we're going to be having a conference next week in a week and a half from now, May 10th and 11th, here in Champaign-Urbana at the University of Illinois, called Can Freedom of the Press Survive Media Consolidation? John Nichols will be one of the people there. We've got a terrific lineup of folks, including Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, Seymour Hersh, Naomi Klein, Amy Goodman. The list goes on and on. Ben Scott, who's already called in. If you want to learn more about this conference, just go to the following website, www.iimpr.org. IIMPR.org. They give you this. It's free and open to the public. All the information's there. But promise me, don't go to that website till you've called 217-244-9455 and made that pledge. But the lines are wide open. This is very depressing, Jay Pierce. You know, we've got a target of 119. I mean, they set it high, granted. But, you know, we want to meet it.
What are we at right now? What kind of numbers?
The latest number I've got is 71. So we're almost at Barry Bonds. But unfortunately, we're playing for Wayne Gretzky numbers.
Exactly.
Barry Bonds isn't going to cut it.
71 means, it does mean a couple of things. One, we can make it. You know, there's certainly enough time left to meet this incredible number that they've given us. But it also means that people have got to start calling like crazy now. I mean, we've got to, this is really important because, again, one of the things that Bob and I do is we brag on you folks. We say that, you know, there are these folks in, you know, Illinois and Western Indiana and listening in on the web from all over who are so committed to, you know, quality media, to independent media, to progressive local media, that on a Sunday, you know, not the best time to be doing fundraising, they call in massive numbers and give this huge level of support. And we say that to program directors, to journalists, to activists around the country as a way of inspiring them and telling them, look, you can do it too. So we really need you to, you know, just give us another excuse to keep bragging about you.
Well, it also means when we call up people like Amy Goodman or Naomi Klein and say, will you come on the air? They say, yeah, I had a great experience in that show. I've heard about that. And we've said, will you come to town and give a talk at our conference? Say, yeah, this sounds like a really cool
place
to
go. We know it's a good town. People are so supportive of their media there.
And the number, again, is 244-9455. But if that line is busy, we do have a second line, 333-0850. Please do call that line if you get a busy signal. I hope you do. 217-333-0850 is our second line. Now, we have someone who's just called in who's been a frequent guest on the show, one of, I think, the top critics of news media and journalism in the U.S. today, Bob Jensen. Bob, how you doing down there?
Well, I'm in Texas, so I'm doing as well as you can, but but I'm hanging in, Bob. Good to hear you, and good to hear the show is doing so well.
Well, we're today is the day. We're holding the Tim Cup out, trying to get people to give us their support. To show that this is the sort of programming they want to hear in their community, and they want to encourage this sort of programming around the country. Fortunately, we've got 71 folks to call in, but we need more callers, 244-9455. Again, the number, please still call in. Bob, you've been on the show several times. You've been, I think, one of our very best guests. Your analysis of journalism, I think, is among the most astute. You teach at the University of Texas journalism program down there in Austin. you know, what is the importance of programs like this from your view? I mean, you travel around, you write about journalism, you talk to people, you give more public talks than virtually any academic I know, except for a couple. What sort of role do shows like this play?
Well, I do travel a lot, especially ever since 9/11. I've been on the road sometimes almost every week. And the one thing that you can always tell when you come to a town is whether there is good community media, public media, non-commercial media. Because when you go to a town like that, you immediately feel the difference. You feel that people have a steady diet of independent information. And they're better informed. They're better organized. It's an incredible boost. I must say, I'm in Austin, Texas, which is largely seen around the country as a very progressive town. But we do not really have a decent independent radio station. Some small stations here and there. But the kind of operation you have, I'm very envious of. So I think people there should understand the resource they have and support it. When I talk about independent media, I always say we have to not only use the independent media, because the information they provide that goes around those commercial corporate filters are so important, but we always got to remember to support them. These things don't come out of thin air.
Bob Jensen, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to join us this Sunday. We're going to get back to you soon in the coming months. Thanks again, Bob.
Good luck with it, Bob.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, that was Bob Jensen, who's been a guest here often, again, making the case. This is the sort of show that you've got to stand up for and support. You know, we have a great audience. John and I brag about you, and you've earned it. We love this audience. We get great support. We've had 71 of you call in to show your support. You know, I think it's fair to say, and I got Jay Pierce, the station manager, in a room with me right now. There's no other show that gets this sort of support on the station. Jay, I don't know if that's a nod yes, but it's a – here, Jay's actually – I'm getting him on the witness stand here.
Did you hear that squeak? Morning edition, maybe.
Morning edition.
On a good day.
Okay, yeah. On a good day.
Which is the top, you know, morning radio show in the country now. And on a good day it will, but no other single show like this that comes on once a week. It's phenomenal. The audience is the largest we've ever had for this time period, for Sunday afternoon especially. It rivals, you know, some of the best weekday audiences, too. So there
so,
you
go. I mean, and so we love the audience. But what we need is, we know we've got a big audience. The ratings show that, the support we get showed. We need the phone calls to come in. 1% of you, roughly, are now, it appears, or maybe 2%, are calling in and supporting the show, making your pledge. We need to get that higher. If you're one of those 71 people who've called in, we love you. You're great. But if you're not, and you listen to this show, or even if it's the first time you've heard it, you think, God, this sounds like interesting programming they're doing, this is the time to call up and make the pledge. And we're not asking you to give money that you don't have or you can't afford. Give what you can afford, what you value. If it's $5, fine. If it's $100, better. If it's $1,000, terrific. But if you don't have $1,000, we don't expect you to pledge it. And if you do make a $60 pledge, we promise you a brand new copy of the book, The Future of Media, which I co-edited with Russ Newman and Ben Scott, coming out literally this week, off the press. It's a brand new book, the authoritative handbook to the media situation in the United States and the world for the next decade. Chapters by people like Bill Moyers, Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, Peter Hart of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. This book rocks. You can get a copy for $60 for your pledge. And what you'll be doing in that pledge, besides getting a great book, is you're going to be supporting this station, supporting this show, and sending a message to news directors and station managers at NPR and community stations all across this country. This is the sort of radio programming people in this country are interested in. They get a real chance to vote and listen to a show like this. When they hear a show like this, they respond and they like it. Because that's the argument is that people don't support these shows. That's what every time I tried to launch the show before WILL gave me the time. Station managers in Madison, Wisconsin, and around the country say, no one cares about that show. That's why there's no show like it on the air. Well, we've got one on the air now, and we've shown people love it. People do respond to it. But the way we show that is saying, look, all the people who call in during pledge drives. And it's not about the amount of money. It's just about the people calling in and saying, this is important to me. More programming like this, more original stuff, more chance to hear Seymour Hersh or Amy Goodman or Bernie Sanders talk in detail on their hard journalism and what they're doing. The number 217-244-9455. If that line's busy, and let's hope it is, then call 217-333-0850. But we need your calls. We've only got 15 minutes left. 15 minutes left. We've got to get to 119. That's the target they've set for us. I don't know where we're at now. We're at 71 the last time I checked the scoreboard. Please make those calls. We desperately need your support. John Nichols?
I'm here, sir.
Now, you and I have just finished a book on well, I just finished. That might be too generous. We're still finishing.
We feel more finished than unfinished.
Yeah, we finished the first, the version to go to the copy editor of a book called Tragedy and Farce, which is about the press coverage of the Iraq election and also of the 2004 presidential election. But it's not just a critique. I mean, our book and our work is always really aimed at taking a critique and converting it into action. Why don't you talk a little bit about what, you know, why we wrote that book?
Well, we started with a quote, actually, a quote from James Madison, more than 200 years old, where he said, or better part of 200 years old, where he said that essentially if America doesn't have a free press and educated people with access to its information, the democratic experiment will soon degenerate into tragedy or farce or both. And the reality is, we argue, that the war in Iraq is a tragedy, and a tragedy made possible by a bad media system that does stenography to power, that does not listen to dissenting voices, that does not bring the skepticism to the process that media should bring. And we argue that the election of 2004 was a farce, that we learned a lot more about John Kerry's record on his Swift boat in the 1960s and early 1970s than we did about fundamental issues such as Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and how we're going to deal with energy independence and jobs and things of that nature. We had a vapid, unreal campaign that was mostly celebrity gossip and scandal. And again, that created a result by not getting people the information that they needed simply to act as citizens, not liberal information or conservative information, not Democratic or Republican, but just fundamental information about where these candidates stand and about some measure of reality brought to the process. The media effectively reelected George Bush. Because when you have a rotten media that doesn't begin to cover the big issues, that doesn't begin to challenge those in power, the powerful remain there because the citizens don't have the information they need to form, you know, real judgments about whether a president should be reelected. So it's a serious book and a challenging book, but it's also a hopeful one because we point to the development of the media reform movement in this country and suggest that it doesn't always have to be this way.
John Nichols, our guest today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. John, you're a political reporter. You cover more political campaigns than anyone I know. You're always, as the election day approaches, you're all over the country covering the last stages of campaign. You're one of these people like Bill Clinton who doesn't sleep for the last week or so of the campaign.
Because I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this is how it is in the pledge drive here. We're in the equivalent of the last 4 days for the election in the next 10 minutes because we go off the air at 2 o'clock.
See, and that's I don't know. That's a scarier thing. You know, covering an election, that's just politics. This is about whether we're going to have, you know, the kind of media that we need, not just in Champaign-Urbana, but nationwide. If people really got to step up to the plate here.
In the numbers, 217-244-9455. In addition to that number, if by chance it's busy, and I regret to say there are lines open, I can tell right now, at 244-9455. But if the lines are busy, just call 333-0850, and you will get through, 333-0850. If you do get a busy signal, be very happy. That's a good sign. But keep calling. Don't give up. Don't abandon ship. We are at 86. We
That's
are
not
at
bad.
86. We've
not bad.
Rocking.
We got to get to 119. Neither of us
Let's do some
a
quick
math.
That's 33 more we need in the next 12 minutes. That's roughly 3 a minute. That's one every 20 seconds.
It can be done.
It can be done.
And we've done it before.
We've done it before. And if
Bob and I have done fundraisers on this station now. We're going to start to sound old because it's been, you know, a few years
now.
Yeah,
this is probably our sixth or seventh one by now.
And what we know is the people come through at the end. Well, now we're at the end.
Everyone wants to be the one to be number 119. I know how that is. I want to be the one that sets the record. I want to go over the top. But you got to have someone be 114 before you get to 119.
But you know what? Anybody who calls from here on out, we're telling you were 119.
Yeah, you're a winner in our book.
Yeah, you're part of that. You're part of pushing us over the top.
We're calling you the 119 Brigade.
Exactly.
You just got to call.
And, you know, we really need you because, again, you know, now we're at that point where, you know, when we have this big conference in a little over a week, are Bob and I are going to be able to say, you know, once again, we broke the record. Once again, this year, we asked people in the region, not just in Champaign-Urbana, but in the region around it, to, you know, step up and support, you know, quality, independent, community, public radio, and to do it in a way that is, you know, not about big checks, not just, you know, can you give $1,000 or $500, but about however you support it, whether you got $1, $10, whatever, but people in big numbers called in to show their support. And we really want to do that.
And it's a way to say thank you to WILL AM 580 for going to bat to support the show when no one else wanted to carry it, for sticking up for it when it came under some criticism, because we had the sort of guest you didn't see on the Hannity show. So if Hannity doesn't have it, how come you're carrying it? It took some real courage for the station to do it. They've stood by us all the way. Call in 217-244-9455. Say thank you, WILL. I like this programming. I want more of it. Also, if that line is busy, and it might be, call the house phone line. We have another line open, 333-0850. Remember, if you do call in, we have a special premium for the $60 gift. It's a premium we've not had before. It's a brand new book that's literally coming off the presses this week, called The Future of Media, Resistance and Reform in the 21st Century, published by Seven Stories Press. I'm the co-editor, along with Ben Scott and Russell Newman. It is a terrific book. I'm very proud of this book. Bill Moyers, Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, Peter Hart. It's an extraordinary lineup of people who've written some of the best essays I've ever read on media. And not just because they capture the broad principles. We've got essays on copyright and on internet standards, which are accessible and understandable, global trade deals, but really connect how important political issues around the world will shape our media system, and as we as citizens, how we can get involved to do something about it. The sort of issues we talk about here on this show on Media Matters, which I take no pleasure in saying we've virtually monopolized in our media system. I wish I could say people were crowding me out, but that's our job today, and that's why you have to call. We have to send the message to other public broadcasters, to other media in general. These are the issues we want to hear about. These are the voices we want to hear. And we want to, you know, John, how it is, you know, if you get a Cy Hirsch or Naomi Klein somehow manages to squeeze on to MSNBC, despite the fact they win all sorts of records and awards and are held in global acclaim as the brilliant journalists of our era, they have to be shouted down by an Ann Coulter.
And they don't squeeze on. You know, Robert Jensen was just on. He and I, one night a couple weeks ago, we were both on Joe Scarborough's show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we each had our, like, 5 minutes, and both of us have done a lot of cable. But the bottom line is, even there, it's just bogus, because you come on talking about the topics they want to talk about, and you can maybe push the discussion over a little. But what we're really missing is the kind of deep, long discussions that matter. And I'll give you a classic example. We talked about it the last time we did this show. That was last time we were doing a fun drive. Condi Rice was in the news for whatever scandal or crime she's committed. And we had Laura Flanders on. And it was everybody was talking, whole media was talking about Condi Rice. It was a big week of Condi Rice. And Laura Flanders had wrote the book on women in the Bush administration. She's the top expert in the country on this.
That's right.
And I asked Laura, were you on any of the cable networks? Were you on any broadcast TV this week? She said, no, nobody asked. Even though she wrote this book, it was a big seller. She did very, very well with it. Lots of Americans know she's the expert. She would have been a great person to have on. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not part of it, sort of inside the beltway, narrow, unthinking, and unchallenging group, you're not going to be on a regular basis on network TV in this country.
And Laura
and that's
Flanders,
what we have to change.
Laura Flanders was on Media Matters to discuss that book right as it came out. We had her fresh on the air. She was here for an hour answering questions from our listeners. Now we need our listeners to step forward and call in and make their pledge to keep this sort of broadcasting alive and well, not only in East Central Illinois, not only in our community here in Champaign-Urbana, but really to send a message across this country. This is the sort of media we demand in this country. We're fed up with stories about celebrities and their sex lives. The number 217-244-9455. Regrettably, we do have lines open. We're at 95 now. We've got 6 minutes left. We've got to go 24.
We can do this?
6 minutes. We can do it.
People need to really call, though. I mean, we can't have phone lines that aren't ringing now.
You know, we've got empty lines there. We've got people yawning in the room now, you know, sort of like looking at empty pizza boxes.
I know.
It's a sad scene.
You know, think of those poor people who are answering the phones. They come in, they take their Sunday afternoon off.
They're volunteers.
They're getting, nobody's making money out of this deal.
And it's a beautiful spring day here in East Central Illinois.
And so what we really ask is that people call 217-244-9455.
And in the increasingly remote chance that line's busy, do call 333-0850. We want to get up to 119. I think we're pushing 100 right now. Make that pledge. And remember, for $60, you will get a copy of the brand new book, The Future of Media, coming out next week, sent directly to you. It is a terrific book. But give what you can. The important thing, again, isn't, you know, that you give it all, you know, bankrupt yourself giving us whatever you can. Give what you can afford.
We're going for numbers here.
Yeah, we're making the statement. We support this show. That's right. We've got John Nichols joining us today for the last 2 hours, being our sort of co-host, guiding people through this. John, what's on the docket for you? What are you writing about now?
Well, I just finished actually a big project and a fun one, and I'll be down in Champaign-Urbana talking to folks, including some of your Urbana folks, about this. I'm writing about progressive cities, the rise in the number of progressive mayors and progressive elected officials around the country, and suggesting that at a time when our Congress, so many of our state governments are controlled by conservatives and special interests, that the real action may be at the urban level with local elected officials who are carving out new ways to deal with everything from locally based healthcare, single payer healthcare programs, to campaign finance reform at the local level, to really good quality development, you know, not development that sprawl, but rather that creates, you know, housing.
Hey, John, I got to stop you. Big news here. We've hit the 110 mark.
We are at 110?
We're at 110. We're
only
so nine
close.
Away.
Oh, my God.
We got 4 minutes. We need nine people to go.
Oh, come on, people.
I got it. And I've been told I'm talking too fast. I've been given the word I got to slow down. Let me give.
There's only one thing you have to do slowly.
Yeah, let me give the phone number slowly because we have lines open. We only need nine more. 217-333-0850 is the House phone. Oh, we need 120. They've upped the tug. It was 119.
Oh, come on. Just keep calling,
yeah,
folks.
217. This is like moving the goalposts on us. Now we're up to 120 we need.
217-244-9455.
Yeah, 244-9455. And then if that's busy, and let's hope it is, call 333-0850. There will be callers, operators waiting, volunteers.
Yeah, and even if you're a minute after, we still get to count those in. But keep calling. This is the final moments of where it all comes together.
I mean, we're really in a chance to make history here. We can actually go out to those next PBS meetings and say, we just blew the socks off
and,
East Central Illinois.
I realize that listeners may think this is just some kind of show or some kind of game on our part. It's not. We get genuinely excited about this. Bob and I will be talking about this for days to come, telling people all over the country because, you know, this is our, it's the reinforcement we get. We don't make money out of this movement when we talk about media reform. The reinforcement we get is when we realize that people actually are on board, that there is the support for independent, progressive, important community public radio, programs like this, stations like this. And so we've only got a couple minutes, but every call that we get at this point just gives us so much strength and so much support as we go out and kind of spread the word about what you people are doing by supporting this station.
I just got another dispatch from the headquarters. We can take three more of those student pledges. If students just pledge $10, they'll be matched by Sarah McDougal.
Fantastic. People are calling in and taking them. That's
yeah, we've
great.
Got seven students who've done it. We've got room for three more. Please make the call. We're so close to getting the all-time record in the history of WILL AM radio. I'd like to we top it into the TV's done. I want to find out what they've done over there in the TV side. We're going to check that out.
Hey,
and get
but
back
the number 217-244-9455.
And if that's busy, and let's hope it is, 217-333-0850. Call and make that pledge, whatever you can give. Remember, for $60, the brand new book, The Future of Media, Resistance and Reform in the 21st Century, chapters by myself, Bill Moyers, Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, Peter Hart of FAIR, Michael Copps of the FCC, Sasha Meinrath, our terrific local community internet activist. It is a wonderful book. You will be delighted to get your hands on it. You will learn a lot from it, and it's an engaging, extraordinarily well-edited book, and I give the full credit there to Russ and Ben. I'm not going to hog it for myself.
$60, you get that book, but you don't have to give us $60. If you've got $10,
and we've got lines open, I have no pleasure to report. There are open lines at 244-9455. If you do call in, we have two open lines now. We've got a couple people yawning. We need your support. 217-244-9455.
We are so close now.
We are literally within just a couple calls of setting the all-time.
That may be one of, that's one of them right there. We just need a few more. Look, the bottom line is this really does matter. This, when you call in, you help us not just to keep this show on the air, you help this station to be able to do a lot more local programming, and you allow us to go to PBS and to National Public Radio and other folks and say, look, there is a true audience. Because I've got to tell you something. There's nothing that public radio programmers take more seriously than the success of fun drives like this.
And don't think you have to stop at 2 o'clock. We no longer take your calls. If you call in and say you want to pledge to support the show after 2 o'clock, Jay Pierce has told me that they will
be around
during the first break during the first break in the next show how many have called in altogether to give the update. So we will update everyone. At this point, though, we've only got a minute left, and we're going to have to go off the air at 2:01. John, I want to thank you so much, as always, my dear brother, for joining us today on Media Matters.
It is an honor to be on with you, and I know that we maybe didn't get to talk as much about politics and things as we'd like, but I know we've communicated some of the passion we have for not just these issues, but also for this kind of radio, and I'm honored to be a part of this.
And John Nichols will be here in Urbana-Champaign a week after next, May 10th and 11th. He will be at the conference, Can Freedom of the Press Survive Media Consolidation, along with a lot of other folks. You'll get a chance to hear him. And I've got just some... the Netherlands. We got a pledge from the Netherlands. And people are going out. Thank you. Listens to Media Matters every week from the Netherlands. That's a great note to end on. Thank you, John. Thank you, listening audience. So see you in 167 hours with Seymour Hersh.